Okay, so this is our study session at 3:10 on February 12th, and we have a quorum.
So that is awesome. So I sent you the advocacy worksheet, and Morale and Ruth Ann and I were introduced to this worksheet at the Colorado Association of Libraries conference. And so we thought that since we were attending the Board of County Commission meetings on a regular basis, that it might be a good idea to have kind of an elevator speech prepared. And so that's what this part of the meeting is about, preparing the elevator speech. And I sent you all of the checklists from the public library standards. And I also sent you a link to the standards, but so you can, if you want to work on them individually, maybe, and then like what I would do is I would choose one of the standards and kind of take a look through the checklist really quickly, and then kind of think about what can you say in a very short period of time to tell people what's going on at the library. What would your elevator speech be? So, for example, the elevator speech that I've been using recently is that last year we had our community needs assessment, and we learned from the community needs assessment that people want more space, more meeting rooms. They are happy with our customer service. They're happy with our interlibrary loan. They want more programming. They think programming is important, especially for children. And so, and then after that, then the library board did all their strategic planning. So we have a strategic plan based on all of that. Library board just approved it in January of 2025. So we have a plan for where we're going. We're working on fixing some problems with some of the buildings, like Kiowa. We're renovating the restroom. And then we're going to focus on Elizabeth and what we can do to the Elizabeth building. So that's my elevator speech. But I don't think that's as exciting as they want you to do it. But
that's positive, though, right? Yeah. I like what you said.
So
because it's what we are doing.
Right. Right. So it's just like a little summary of what the library board is up to, you know, what we've been doing and where we're going. So that's the kind. So I guess if I'm doing standards, I would have chosen the standard for the facilities would have been the one that I would have done. Which page is that on? I think it's towards the back.
See a bit on building exterior interior.
Yeah.
Page 37.
Yeah. 36 facilities and infrastructure essentials for all public libraries. So if you're going to do the building, that would be the one to look at. And I don't specifically say that we're trying to meet ADA. I just say that we're updating some key things just because.
You don't want to say anything about code as far as just saying that we are updating to
building code.
Bring us into the, how should we say, the 25th century, as far as building technology is maybe the best way to say that, rather than say handicap, just say building technology as far as what we're, building technology can encompass updated equipment, i.e. better sinks, toilets, i.e. more water efficient and or grab bars in the necessary places and minimum distances. It's a foggy way of saying we're trying to become ADA compliant. I mean, we didn't use, that's not using those words. You've just elaborated.
But at that point, Alan, then you are putting up the white flag or yellow flag that we have problems where.
Well, I know. I don't think so. I when we say that we are updating to get the best technology as far as water usage, personal safety, we don't need to say we're not acknowledging that we have a problem. We are just taking advantage of technology is the best way to put it, I guess.
I'm just thinking, what if we say, you know, with the study that was performed last year, we know that Elbert County is growing and the library system is doing our best to grow with the county.
Yes.
I like that much better.
Yes, yes.
That's beautiful.
Did you write that down, Ruth?
No.
So are you how?
It's on tape.
That's right. Do we have to write all this down as long as it's on the tape?
We can always listen to it again.
Matt will write everything up, right?
Now, because that one, that's good. I like that better than anything I've heard. So who do we want to tell and why, guys?
Are we talking to the Board of County Commissioners? Because we're, you know, that's we're attending their meetings. Is that why we're?
That's one. That's good.
So that's I think we need to have some informative things in the back of our head if they ask us a question that we can say we are working toward this goal. Mm-hmm. So now if they start asking specifics, it takes time.
Well, in fact, if someone were to ask us, what exactly are we doing? We're updating our buildings. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have to know that we're updating our buildings.
We also, I don't know if we want to say anything about fundraising to support updating the building.
Well, I think that we need to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, because I have a feeling they're going to put the finger on us when we show up.
Maybe we should say we're exploring new areas to raise funds to accomplish our goals.
I like that. I like that, yes.
I mean, we want to talk to the county board. And we want to talk to the general public as far as the social groups that we belong to from the standpoint, I mean, different clubs. Each of us probably belong to different groups of people that we talk to on a regular basis. And I guess the goal would be to let those groups know that we're not static as far as just sitting with no growth planned or whatever. I mean, because we need to impress upon everybody the county is growing and we're gaining a bigger population. So we need to be able to account or to cover that growth from the standpoint better facilities, better technology, because things young people in particular, they're coming up, they're using new technology, which sometimes is a challenge for us old fogies to be able to use. And so the trick is, like, to let everybody know we're doing our darndest to keep up with the times. And whether it be technology, publications, facilities, participation in countywide events as much as possible. You know, I don't know how else to say that, but that's primarily when we have meetings and talk about goals and whatever, those are all the things that we're trying to hit.
Absolutely. The other thing that I think perhaps we might, like, just looking at this building exterior and grounds, I think we do all of them. So I think we have the check marks. That's on page 37. Okay. So, and I don't know if everybody realizes that we have 24-hour Wi-Fi available outside the building. Even if the building's closed, they can come here and access Wi-Fi. I think that's something that I think we have to come up with some points of what we have now that perhaps the public doesn't realize we have it available.
That's a really good point. A lot of things that they don't really know about, like the 24-hour Wi-Fi, and then they don't know about our databases either that we have with really good resources. You can get consumer reports from our databases. Mm-hmm. And we also have access to the New York Times through our databases. And sometimes people don't know about our ebooks and our e-audio, our downloadable audio. So those are other things that we could also highlight. So
I think we need a few different ways to go when people ask us questions about stuff.
I think that what you all just brought up is stuff that's easy to bring into any conversation. Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody's talking about their kids running here and there. Well, there's 24-hour Wi-Fi at the library. You can park in the parking lot and use it in the evenings. Same mm-hmm. thing with all of the databases. I didn't know the first two that you had mentioned. I did not know that we had a portal to the New York Times. And what was the first one?
Consumer Reports.
Consumer Reports. I didn't know that. I mean, I use the Libby and the cloud, and I use those that are provided by the library, but I didn't know about the databases.
So, and we were talking yesterday about, I think we talked about it, and I talked about it this morning. People worried about their connections out here because they're kind of spotty with DSL that you have, or
yeah, I don't remember that.
So that, I mean, that would be, but that would be perfect to highlight, oh, well, if you're having problems at home.
Yes, even, we did talk about that.
Yeah, if you're having problems with the internet and connection at home, you can come to the library. And that conversation goes on a lot. I have that conversation a lot out mm-hmm. here that my internet is not good, Mm-hmm. So yeah. You can say, well, you can always come to use the Wi-Fi at the library in the middle of the night if you're in a pinch.
Yeah, so, no, I think, yeah, and I didn't, I, I didn't realize that it was, oh, I did, but I didn't. It wasn't at the fourth, during COVID, y'all, parents were coming here for their kids to do their homework and stuff. And I'd forgot about that.
Yeah. And even during that one of those recent snowstorms in Simla, they had people that were stuck in Simla, stranded in Simla, and they would go to the library parking lot to use the Wi-Fi, even though the library was not open.
Right.
You know, it was still helping people that were stranded, you know, by the weather.
So. How close do you have to be to the library? I mean, does it cover the whole parking lot? I see people parked out there against on the east side, and I would assume you're able to access there. But like at Kiowa, if you're parked in front or you're parked in the back, is it cover both those places?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Well enough. I haven't tested it. I know that when I sit in my car out here that I can get Wi-Fi just along this side here because I'm always forgetting something or something like that. So, yeah.
That might be nice if we put up some little signage, you know, to just say Wi-Fi works here.
Well, and another reminder, which I know Sarah's the one that does a lot of it, is maybe on the Facebook page. To remind people that it is available 24 hours.
And we can put that in the newsletter also.
Another good one.
Yeah.
Because I think that most people don't, how do I want to, you know, I better be quiet. I just think that, yeah, it would be good information for the general public.
That's great.
And add the, just like, not just the Wi-Fi, but add the idea, you know, hey, we have Libby.
We do, and I use it all the time.
Yeah.
And the, what's the other one? It's Aspen.
Well, AspenCat, the cloud library.
Yes, that's the one that actually I get better results from.
Because people don't use that as much. So you can get bestsellers more quickly through cloud library.
Yeah. Okay. So, and what else? And put in the databases. I think when I just looked at the website, they said they had some kind of a fix-it database.
Oh, yeah, because we've got the car repair.
Small engine repair.
Small engine repair.
So as well as other.
It's not car repair.
And so do we access that through the library webpage?
So you go to the library webpage, and then you click on resources or whatever, and then you just have to put your library card in, and then it'll let you into those databases. You have to do a little bit of finagling to get to Consumer Reports. I think we put those instructions on the website. On how to get into Consumer Reports.
I'm sure, I think it will all be trying to do a page.
Yes, because I had no idea. See, New York Times, I know that they're.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, we used to read them all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't anymore.
Yeah.
And
the New York Times, I think you have to set up a password, use your email and password, but you have to. You set up your account through the library, through the library website.
Okay. Awesome.
So I think Kim probably knows how to do it. I'm not sure, but I can.
Okay.
I can figure out. I'm techie enough.
Yeah.
Just enough to be dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just dangerous. So, I'm not techie at all.
Taking this pretty literally, like identify the strengths of the library. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, talking to you and the budget that you presented was, in my opinion, outstanding, that you had such a good, you know, a great budget, and then that you've been able to manage the funds so well. And then go to this page 36, where it says budget for sufficient maintenance and ongoing development of buildings, grounds, and technology infrastructure, which is basically what you're doing, right? We're trying to maintain and develop.
And save. We're trying to use our budget, but we're also trying to save what we can towards future
development.
Right.
Future development. And I think that the development, you know, that type of growth is then we can discuss then the growth of the county, the growth of the population, the growth of the children and the elderly and all of the things. But really the strength, that's a strength in my opinion. That was where I was like, that's really, because you don't, that's odd to have such a great budget and such a, I don't know that much about having a budget, but
The library board, I mean, the several that I've been acquainted with, we have done a extraordinary deal. We've paid off loans ahead of schedule, and we've kept up. And due to Susan's diligence and donations of patrons, we have remodeled things, updated stuff. We've like added automatic entrance doors that again, it's been a constant evolution of fixing or updating things to, I mean, we've made better lighting. In fact, I noticed that when I was coming home last night at 8:30 from a meeting in Castle Rock, and I'm looking over this way and I'm thinking, wow, there's the library. There's lights on all sides. The stairways, doors are lighted. It's the only thing we could do better is have a lighted sign on the west side.
Well, and I think that
I don't expect to be able to read it from the highway, but just the idea that it's there. I mean, to let people know, hey, right, the library has a nice sign. I mean, we have a big place. We may not be using all of the space right now, but it's there that we let the county know that
it's available for development.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's.
I love it. I love that.
That I think we need to, that sign on the west side. That's something other we need to figure out. We need to either get the Friends of the Library involved in doing something there. We need to explore. I saw there was a deal on the billboard for the city, their lighted sign over here. There's an outfit called Fast Signs. We should call them and find out.
Do they want to donate it to?
Yes, yes.
Signs that are like hospital, different signs like that. And there's the library, the blue and white library sign. Is there one of those?
It's right out here on the street.
We have there's one out on 86.
It's so tiny. 86.
And there's one also here.
Okay.
Here on Elizabeth
Street. I've never noticed it at all. I just
didn't either. See, they're tiny.
You have to be looking for it. But I mean, I'm a library dork and I go to libraries in other towns when I'm on vacation. So I'm always looking for those. But there's people not like, no. I've been to libraries in Ireland and Bulgaria and
They're like universal, right? Yeah. The universal libraries.
Yeah.
I think the little signs that say Wi-Fi in this area, or should say free Wi-Fi in this area. If we put some of those signs out here, the public, it will jump out at them when they come here, because half the people don't even think of that. The folks that use it on a regular basis, we don't have to have the signs for them, but it's for the folks
that are out of town or coming in through,
yes,
or passing through or whatever. Even in Kiowa, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
Even in Kiowa, it's a beautiful sign. I love the sign. I love the little is it a little house or a church or
church?
The little church. But it's such a blink and miss it town, right? You drive through and it's like, so I just, signage is important. I think it's a good idea, but that's a good sign. I've been paying attention to that.
The other thing would be that if we had those Wi-Fi signs out there and people began to use it, if they're here in the evening with their kids, they'll remember it. And it may be another way to entice people through the front door.
And then I also was kind of looking at some of these things on the building interior, some of the things that you guys, I think, or we all are thinking about. What could be making study areas, quiet areas, public meeting areas, displays, blah, 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 blah. all those things. I think telling people about those things, these are things that we want, because that's right. This is an elevator talk, right? This is something that we want to tell people. Mm-hmm. What you're talking about is if we're going to a commission.
Yeah, just if you go to a county commission meeting, what are you going to say about what's the library board up to? Or, I mean, or like Alan said, if you're anywhere, you know, if you're at one of at
whatever, and what like the murals and mm-hmm. the beautiful things, come see the beautiful murals and just like really like this is so nice. You got to check it out.
Well, I know that we have plans in the future to have library presence at some of the public functions that are going to happen. And having a list of talking points for whoever's manning the tent would be something easy for them. So, but it's...
The enthusiasm that we have for the library, right? How can it be contagious to other people that maybe think, I'd rather have a police department, that, you know, have something else in that building, you know, where mm-hmm. this is a community, this helps our community. That's what I feel like we need to, that's what I'd like to be able to say.
The good thing about a library, it's a non-confrontational type of situation. You don't go to the library when you're in trouble. I mean, you go there to have, to get information, to get a book, get a periodical, find something out, do research. It's always, in most cases, it is a pleasure experience. It's not a confrontational. I mean, you go to the fire department, or the police deal, most generally you're there because you've got a gripe or you've got a problem. And the library is not that situation. You go there to have a good time, so to speak. It's, you may not think of it that way, but trust me, I come in the door, it's because I'm there to get a book, to find something out, or I'm a little bit, I mean, I sign checks and other things, but it's just part of my duties. Most of the time, I'm coming through the door to get something for my pleasure. And I think most people need to come to that realization that's right. What you can have.
And
you
the
know,
computers, you've got the new computers. You said they were new computers. How exciting. We want more. You know, we want to be able to have the kids come in and be not have a problem getting onto the computers and come to the study rooms. Because honestly, honestly, books are not as for us. You know, we like our books, but kids like the computer. They like to research on the computer, and some of them have them, but some of them don't. And I know. Just even studying, right? I mean, when you study, where do you like to study? Be honest, right?
It's mostly on the computer.
On the computer.
Or, I mean, a textbook of sorts, but.
Yeah. And if you can go into a study room and have your headphones and all that, and, you know, it's just so pitching that, mm-hmm. that we are planning on, you know, whenever you get the architect's plans on how many study rooms, you know, those kinds of things. I don't know if I'm off the topic of this or not. But
that's a good way to approach it too. Just, you know, thinking about different ways to talk about the library and, you know, featuring what we offer
in a really like enthusiastic, positive, mm-hmm. this is so mm-hmm. cool. This is what we're doing.
Right.
Don't shut us down way, right?
Yeah.
It's like exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it is. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's super exciting. I mean, I've come from just playing bookmobiles, right? Where you just have a bookmobile and you have 20 books this is exciting. Sorry.
I should also mention the Board of County Commissioners approved both of your terms.
Well, I figured that or you'd be telling me I had to leave.
Nah. We
Which would have been okay.
But I make you do exercises like this.
When it's this, it's like, okay, I think that maybe I don't want to do this anymore. No, it's fine. I'm kidding.
Any more ideas about ways you can approach? I mean, do you want to just take a few minutes, like maybe 10 minutes, and just kind of work on your own elevator pitch, or and then maybe share them quickly?
You really are making this like school.
I am.
Yes.
I'm trying to get it done. It's 3:40 right now, so if you want to take
it. It's like me being a judge on, you go into class, you go to a study session on how to talk to an exhibitor and tell them that you're trying to say in a positive way all the good things about their environment. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have to give a DQ.
Yeah, but pretty beautiful, but.
So you want us to do this for 10 minutes?
Yes. I'm already writing. Okay. I'm getting ahead of you, Ruthann.
Okay. What's the matter, Morel?
I said, I'm already doing. I'm getting ahead of you, so I'm done.
It's about 1 minute left of the 10-minute time period.
Oh, no.
You're not going to be graded.
Just kidding. Sorry.
So do you guys want to talk about what you've worked on?
Okay.
I look at Ruthann. You can do it first, Ruthann. Mine's pretty sketchy.
All right. Library strength, multiple locations to service the county. What else were you going to say? Well-maintained budget, money in the bank to put towards expansion. Who do I want to tell? Possibly county and town representatives, any of the public. My pitch. We are planning for the growth of the county as our study has predicted a large expansion. Key talking points. Good budget. We have a plan. 24-hour Wi-Fi, databases, online books, programs for children and adults.
You did the back too?
Yes.
She gets extra points.
Well, I didn't. Okay, go ahead.
I didn't do the back either.
Okay, so it's identify key areas for future improvement. So I said build out the Elizabeth Building. What areas do you already do well, budget and programming? What is an area that is ripe for growth? Meeting rooms needed. What community or library data informs this decision, the needs assessment? And we polled the public. Strategic directions, use the needs assessment for planning, get builders to donate land for future branches.
Oh,
and that's it.
Oh, and I did mention the county commission today.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, I actually put a call in to one of our friends, but I've not gotten a return call. I'm sure he knows what I'm calling
about. Because we're going to need, it's like that, talking about that corner up here, West Elbert corner, they've got the Parker Library that's not that far away from them.
Yeah.
But as we keep going east, we need more facilities. That's going to be more essential.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else brave enough to share with
me? Not me.
I'll go here.
I wrote it all down, though. She's ready. No, I'm not going to. Go ahead.
As far as our use standards and checklist, our library strengths, I mean, we did a use study in 2024 countywide to find out what the public, and we actually went to great lengths, our study person went to great lengths to talk to multiple different groups. We are updating the Kyberry Library restroom to best tech of today. We're updating the buildings in all areas. We are also exploring other areas, i.e. to add more services in other areas. I mean, we've looked at, it's part of our youth study, in that northwest corner, and how much we can do farther out in the other areas. And that's kind of dependent upon growth in the county. We are aware that there's big growth planned for Elizabeth and Kiowa. So, and then as far as who we want to talk to, we want to talk to the county board. We want to interface with as many other clubs as we have access to. I have one thing here. I would like more interaction with the school in various areas. For some reason or other, I won't say we've been shy, but we have not gotten a lot of input or inquiries from the schools, and we in some respects we've been a little shy, and this is my own personal thought, is I didn't want to open up a can of worms in some respects. We're public. We try to be our number one goal is to be free to the public and cover as wide a range of viewpoints as possible, so that right, it doesn't matter if you're right, left, or middle. We have something for everybody, and we're not going to prejudge or look down or call you out. That's not our job. That's what you do is your thing. As far as key talking points, I feel when I talk to people, I'm telling, you know, we have a preschool reading program with crafts and projects, and we sometimes have dogs come so the kids can interact with something or other. It kind of engages the kids and gets them to interact with each other. Again, reiterate, we have free Wi-Fi access to databases, community talk get-togethers, which I think there's a lot of people that are not aware that we do those things. I do need to get it straight in my head how often. I know most of these things are done on a monthly basis. I'm not sure of the date. It's something I would tell people, you need to check with the desk. And that's another thing, a failing on my part. I know we have it here. I don't know, do we have something like that in Kiowa? Do we have something like that in Simla?
So Simla does have a coffee chat.
Okay.
In Kiowa, they have different groups. They've got like a knitting group and a book group, which we have here too. But
right,
that kind of serves that need a little bit. And Kim does a lot of outreach to the senior center too. So we're, you know, reaching them in different ways at Kiowa.
Other thing on talking points, we're open on Saturdays. We're open most evenings till 8 o'clock. And the staff can help with computers. It's a place to get copies. All of these are things that when you're talking to a group, throw it out there. It's a shotgun blast, because you never know. I always let people know that my different dog groups, we use these meeting rooms. We not only use them here, but we use them in Castle Rock, various other things. We have a 24-hour book return, and I feel each library, it's easy for us to tell people where our facilities are, and in most cases, the signs, and we have, I mean, we don't use the whole building here, but it looks pretty impressive from the outside. We also, we do things at the county fair. We do stuff at the Main Street here in Elizabeth on Halloween, on their Halloween Saturdays. And again, I'm proud to say, as a district, we have four locations. I have a gut feeling a lot of people in this county don't know, but we have four locations. We also, I like to brag that we are solvent from the standpoint we have no outstanding loans, and we've paid off our mortgages ahead of time, and we are very good, I mean, about staying in budget and how you would say living within our means, and we have not raised our mill levy since its inception, which is outstanding, yet we're providing good service to the county.
Thank you. Awesome. You guys are so good. So do you want to, we've got a whole nother bit to do. Do you want to get out of jail free card and we'll just go on to the next topic instead of?
Yes.
Mine was all pretty similar to, I think that's cool that we're kind of all on the same page.
Absolutely.
Pretty much. I think that's really good.
It's mostly it's just noting, knowing what, I mean, I've learned being a trustee, all these different things, and it's way beyond just checking out a book.
It is, and I think educating, when it said, who do you tell, I said friends, family, everybody, like my neighbors, you know. There's a lot of neighbors that I have that I know would love this. With little, that I'm excited about it all.
This is excited. Good.
Temper your
enthusiasm. We need energy.
Temper your enthusiasm, Lisa.
So I got to figure out. Well, I was gonna show you on the screen the same thing just so that you could follow along, but. But we'll go through this and just kind of talk about all these different types of options for us. So these are different ways that we can raise funds for our capital projects. So the first one we've already kind of covered, the foundation. But I kind of talked, you know, we've talked about setting some goals for the foundation. Wendy wants to add more members to the foundation board. She's saying like Elbert County Artists Guild, for example, but I'm thinking we also need to think strategically, like, are there people that we want to put on the board, the foundation board, because they're good fundraisers, because they're well connected in the community, because they have a lot of money, you know, all of those. So do we want to think strategically about who we add to the board? So that's another consideration.
Question, Susan, does Wendy do the soliciting to get new members on the foundation, or are we supposed to be trying to do that?
Well, it's the, so two of you from the library board are on the foundation board. So if you wanted to, you know, work with Wendy and help her solicit people, you know, that she has a whole list of organizations she wants to approach.
Oh, all right. Well, so, that does it right there.
But, you know, but also, but more strategic thinking too, you know, who would be a really dynamic person to have on the board. You know, you have to keep them coming back. You have to keep them engaged and interested, but thinking strategically, people you know that might, you know, that are, people are, they're really good to really good at talking to other people and, you know, explaining what's going on and getting people engaged and involved and interested in participating.
Okay.
So that kind of person. So we want the foundation to have regular meetings. The next meeting is Saturday, April 5th at, here at the library in this room from 10 to noon. And so we can kind of think of that as our kickoff meeting for the foundation. I'd like to see the foundation participate in Colorado Gives Day, which is the second Tuesday or the first Tuesday of December. And that is something that I'll have to help get us involved in. And then we wanted to, like, do we want to set them a goal? Do we want to set the foundation? We've kind of, you know, battered around some ideas. And I just was like, my pie in the sky is, let's tell the foundation to raise us $3 million, you know?
And would Wendy be whoa with that comment? Or, I mean, I don't know how, I don't know her.
I don't know. I have emailed with her a lot over the past couple of weeks, and she's like scaling back a lot of her other things that she's involved in, and she's not getting involved in other things because she really wants to focus on the foundation. So, I mean, that's an amazing amount of dedication, because Wendy is one of those connectors in the community. You know, she does that schedule every year of all of the things that are going on in the community. You know, she has this huge list with Elbert Days and Kiowa, 4th of July, you know, just everything.
My question is, you will come to the meeting?
Yes.
Okay, because then you can throw out to her that we would like to raise $3 million.
I think...
It has to come to the...
No, we said over 3 years.
Over 3 years, but yeah. Yeah.
My thought is, if they ask why we came up with that route or that amount, actually, that is a... That's a real good ballpark figure of the amount to really do expand this library. In fact, it's a possibility that's still short by $1 million. I've had sticker shock on our deal with Kiowa and other things. I'm boggles my mind every time I go to the lumberyard. I look around at the individual things and I think, oh shoot, it used to be 10 bucks, now it's 25. What's the deal here?
And it's going to get more, you know, as time goes on, the expenses are going to, it's so 3 million today is going to be, you know what I mean?
Right. So shrink. I'm trying to collect some of this data and I'm going to put it in a spreadsheet for you, but right now it's just floating around in my head. 2 weeks ago, I went to Fort Lupton Library, which is a brand new building. They just opened, I think, last year, but it's like 14,500 square feet. So it's about half the size of what we need here. They spent $9 million building that building. It was built from the ground up. So that just kind of gives you an idea. So I told County Commission today, we have $2.7 million roughly in reserves. These numbers are not audited, but $2,751,681 is our rough amount in reserves at the moment. So, you know, so we're halfway. If the foundation can come up with 3 million over 3 years, you know,
they'd be matching our funds.
Wendy said that she's going to have a foundation table at the Elbert Women's Club breakfast on April 27th. She's already got that in the, and she's also gathering information about that Main Street program going on in Kiowa. They are they're looking for board members right now for the Kiowa Main Street program. It's kind of through the state, but it's kind of a, I don't understand it as well, but they've done it here in Elizabeth, but it's kind of like, you know, looking at things you can do to revitalize your downtown. Mm-hmm. And so Wendy is not going to participate as a board member because she wants to work on the foundation, but she is just looking at that more. So along with the foundation, you know, there's just fundraising that we can do. So some different options are if we get people that are really chatty, you know, that are just willing to cold call or network for money, you know, that's one way of raising money. Another way, some libraries will hire a professional fundraiser by the hour or for a project. And then you want to hire somebody reliable and professional. And so this is the Colorado chapter of American Fundraising Professionals recommends a specific organization. So luckily, last week I went to a workshop on grants, an hour session at another little mini conference. And so they, all of our money that we receive in as grants needs to be funneled through the foundation, because the foundation is a 501c3. So, and the woman that did this presentation that I went to was from Denver Public Library, and we can just get online and make an appointment with her. And we can either have a virtual appointment where we talk with her over the computer, or we can go to Denver Public Library and she can help us use the databases, and we'd have an hour with her to, you know, she can talk about all their resources. So right now, anybody can go onto Denver Public Library's website and sign up for their e-card, just their electronic card. And by doing that, you would have access to the Colorado Grants Guide. So any of us can do that right now. I can get on the computer and do that right now. They have another database that's the Foundations and Nonprofit Resource Center. That is only at Denver Public Library. So we would have to go to Denver Public Library, and the librarian would actually help us through. But she did, you know, she just did some searches in this workshop, and some of the examples of the foundations that provide money are ones that you've heard of. You know, they're around the community. I don't know how to pronounce it, Betcher Foundation.
Betcher.
That's really familiar. The Gates Family Foundation from the old Gates Bedding Company, I'm guessing. Out of Colorado Springs, you're probably familiar with El Pomar Foundation. So, you know, these are things that we recognize, and they give money to projects like ours. So we would need help, you know, working on the grant applications to get those done. I guess that would be foundation that can help us, or whoever can help us do those. And then these, the databases, one of the databases she was showing us shows you the people that are involved in the foundation. So you've got names and you've got a phone number. And she said, sometimes just calling that phone number for the foundation, you learn a heck of a lot. And you learn like what kinds of things they're looking for in the grant applications, you know, what kinds of things they fund, whether they would be a good fit for our project. So she said, that's really, you know, just calling them, you'll learn a lot. But they list, like a lot of times they'll list the main people in the foundation. And so sometimes there's ways that you can contact them directly and find out more about it. In working on this, I stumbled across this Community Resource Center, which is I found through the Department of Local Affairs, Colorado Department of Local Affairs, Division of Local Government. And this Community Resource Center is having a virtual funder roundtable on March 7th. And it's like through Zoom, and you sign up, and then you're talking to people from the Gates Family Foundation, and you can pitch your project right then. It's maybe a little bit early for us to do that, but it would be surely amazing to hear this happening.
You can lurk.
Yeah, yes. Just to lurk and watch.
To see how this works. So they bring in representatives from Gates Family Foundation, and they put you out in little round tables, and then you and however many other people are talking with this person and finding out what they offer. I was just thinking, you know, do we want a board subcommittee that would work on grants? Maybe that would go to Denver. I'm assuming I'll probably go to Denver to talk to the librarian. Or would this be part of the foundation? I don't know. We can figure out just
by thinking about that one. Yeah.
How we want to do that. Okay. So page 2, number 4 is federal funds. And honestly, I don't have a clue what's going to happen with federal funds, because the new administration came in and wanted to put a freeze on everything. And so a lot of some of the grants that I've been looking at, they have like disclaimers on their websites now that say, we don't know if we're really going to have this money. So, but one of the ones that I learned about from Jefferson County Library is this congressional directed spending. And what you do is you work with your representative or your senator, and they have money in their pot that they can give to localities. So they have millions of dollars in their pot that they can allocate to whatever they want within the state.
So it's state funds, not federal.
No, it is federal funds, because it belongs to Lauren Boebert, it belongs to John Hickenlooper, it belongs to Michael Bennett. So you talk with them and people in their office, and you say, this is our project. And they say, give me more information. And we do. And then they're like, okay, you know, here's we're going to give you part of our pot for the year.
My question is, I'm trying to get back to new administration.
Right.
Federal, does it affect what these guys are getting?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I really can't answer that question.
If they do, mm-hmm. we do have in the Hickenlooper.
Okay.
Well, if we decide to do that, I'm sure that the person I'm thinking of would do it.
Okay.
He was head of Hickenlooper's security when he was the governor.
Okay. Well, I figured Hickenlooper was going to be our best bet.
He's very liberal. I think that he would.
And I pulled a bunch of resources off it. Or this is from Hickenlooper's webpage in 2023. His congressionally directed spending. I did the search for libraries, and I actually deleted some that didn't really apply. But like the city of Aurora received $2.5 million for the renovation of the Martin Luther King Library in Aurora. The city of County of Denver received $3.4 million for the creation of a youth empowerment center at the Central Library in Denver. The city and county of Denver also received $2.5 million to purchase the Loretto Heights Library. That's probably a different, I don't think that's probably what we would be looking for. The city of Thornton received $2.4 million for a reconstruction and addition of a library to the Thornton Community Center. So those are just examples from Hickenlooper's webpage. The most recent stuff he had was 2023. This congressionally directed spending.
Okay.
So that's the kind of thinking we need. It's like, I have a connection, you know, somehow we can, but usually who you're talking to in their offices are staffers, you know, so we've got to know the staffer and get to know them and convince them that this is a valuable project. At the bottom of page 2, it's kind of buried. There's the USDA Community Facilities Direct Loan and Grant for Rural Areas. And I actually know about this from Tennessee. One of my libraries, when I was a regional director, got this grant. And the grant application was not that hard. It's through the USDA, but I think they maybe got it and then gave it back because there was an element of matching money that they didn't understand. If I remember correctly, but they had a building that was a former city building or something that they were gutting and renovating to use as a library. And so we applied to the USDA and got this direct loan, but it also was like, it was so much money that you had to pay over, but you had to match some part of it. And it was like a rude awakening for them. And then there's another USDA one through the federal government. Again, page 3, funds available, who knows. It's called the 1RD Guarantee Loan Initiative. And for what we have to do with this one, it's the way it works is we have to find a lender who's willing to participate in this or who already participates in this. And then we can get a loan at a good rate through that. So those are the federal options that I found at the moment. I'm sure there's more than that, but that's what I found. So number 5 is state funds. And this is all through, it's called DOLA, the Department of Local Affairs. And we fall under the Division of Local Governments because we're kind of a small little government piece. There's like 8 regions in Colorado. Our region is belongs to Todd Leopold. And I've been in contact with Todd Leopold and started the process already without your permission. But
you have it. We can fix that.
So what I was asking him about is what they did with the town of Elizabeth. So the town of Elizabeth had the University Technical Assistance Program work for them. And you end up working with the University of Colorado Denver. They're architecture students and they're like public planning students. So the town of Elizabeth had a grant for planning and probably preliminary architecture for the senior center. And they got this through UTAP, through the University Technical Assistance Program. They did some community meetings about that. This was like right when I first started in 2023. But they had like basic designs that they could show people. The town of Elizabeth then got a grant for engineering, which would be like the next step of process for the senior center, but they have a brand new town board and the town board just voted down the senior center. So they killed the project completely. So, which is a real blow to the town of Elizabeth. And so they are having to give back the engineering funds to the UTAP program. So they've already notified DOLA that they can't take those funds, so they're having to give them back. But this is the list on the website of all the different things that UTAP can help with. Architecture, landscape architecture, planning, processes and design. You know, some of it doesn't apply to us, housing, renewable energy projects, and then community development block grants, which I have listed. I have 2 things listed down below. So there's some alternate energy grants that we could go for if we wanted to add solar project or energy efficient windows to this building, or like geothermal, which is quite expensive, geothermal heating. It's where you dig down deep into the ground and you're pulling out the warmth of the ground and you're putting, in the winter, you're pulling the warmth out of the ground, and in the summer, you're putting the heat into the ground. Is that right? But anyway, it's like, it's a different way of, it's very expensive though, but it's a different way of heating. And then these are federal funds. The community development block grants are federal funds but they're granted through the state of Colorado. And we would have to work with our regional manager, Todd Leopold, to figure out if we are eligible for those funds. Again, whether those funds will exist, we don't know. So that's state funds. Then if we wanted to finance the building. So what we did last time with this building, and I asked Wendy kind of talk to you guys about it last time a little bit. We had a lease purchase plan for this building. And then I think we had, what she said was there were like two payments a year. So shortly after we got the lease purchase plan from Scuttlebutt, I heard that the library director was not going to be able to pay those payments, one of those payments, and we were going to go into default. And the library director at the time refinanced the project and was able to save the loan, and we didn't go into default. And again, this is Scuttlebutt, but apparently the library board did not know about all this action. And I will tell you, I cannot even imagine not telling you guys if there's something like that going on. This is all gossip, I have no idea how much of it's true, but the next library director was able to pay off the loan completely, so it wasn't an issue at all. So I copied this directly from the Treasury website. It talks about the ways that you can finance capital, and it's a little bit hard to slog through, but it's good to read. I'm not going to read it to you, but I'll recommend that you read it later. It talks about general obligation bonds, and I think, Noelle, that's probably what you have in Texas for that project with the Walmart. So
I'm just reading it real quick. Yeah, I'm sure that's what we had.
So that's something that has to go to the voters for approval, for mm-hmm. them to approve for those bonds to be issued. And so for what, like Colorado school districts, this example, it says if they receive the approval of their voters, they can issue general obligation bonds to build or renovate schools. And those bonds are repaid from school district property taxes. So that's one way to finance through bonds. The next one is tax or revenue anticipation notes. And this is, you know, money borrowed by government and the pledge that it will be repaid over time from a specified revenue source. So that just tells you another option here. And then the certificates of participation, this last one, a lease financing mechanism, that's where the government enters into an agreement to make regular lease payments for the use of an asset over some period, after which the title for the asset transfers to the government. And I suspect this is what we had for this building when they first renovated this building, because I've heard it was a lease purchase kind of loan is what we had. So the SNP means that's the end of what I cut from the Treasury's website. And then the last part, number 7, is taking it to the vote. And so I found this in the Denver Post talking about school funding measures, and I just thought that it was very clear. It really helped me understand. So districts in Colorado have two general methods that they can take to voters to raise money: bond measures, which was also in the previous section, and mill levy overrides. And what are they? So with a bond, it goes on the ballot, and the district would ask the voters to approve bond sales, allowing the district to get debt to build new schools or libraries and repair or upgrade existing buildings. And then the districts pay these bonds off by raising residents' property taxes. Right. So, and then the mill levy is, districts ask for a mill levy override. So our mill levy right now is 2.516. So we would say we want a mill levy of 5. I'm just making things up. And then that would be for a specific period of time. So we would say we want a mill levy of 5 for 5 years. And then after that, our mill levy would go back to 2.516. And I saw this just happen in Douglas County. That's where I live. And so we just voted, Douglas County just voted to approve this mill levy override, which was already, it was already there. It was just extending the mill levy override for the school district.
So that's what I was going to ask. So if you want to increase the mill levy, that also has to go
to the voters. Right.
Okay.
So both of these, yeah, bonds and the mill levy have to go to the voters. And we kind of have decided that's not an option.
Good. No.
So this is my high level library capital project funding 101. So
I think it was very informative.
Yes.
I learned a lot researching this.
Yes, definitely.
To get it ready for you guys. And, you know, there are resources out there. We just, right now, things are a little bit in limbo with federal funds. So, and I just, you know, I went ahead, I just made an inquiry to Todd Leopold, you know, tell me more about the University Technical Assistance Program. And so I'm supposed to have somebody from CU Denver contacting me to learn more about our project and to see where we go. So what I would anticipate is that we would use that. Too bad Sandy's not here, because she's always like, we need a picture. We need a picture.
Oh, yes. And, yes.
And did she say that yesterday? I don't know. when we were training with her, but
we will get the picture.
But that's a good,
right? I mean, this is a cost-effective way for us to get that, you know, to do a little bit of planning, you know, with students for free, and you know, it may not be what we want in the long run. What my ideal would be to have, you know, to get this because we need to raise money, and then to have Anders or another real library consultant help us create a program plan for the building so that we make sure that we have all of the pieces that we need in the building. And then from there, then we go into selecting the architect and moving forward from that piece. So that's kind of my ideal of where we would go with this, because I'm the UTAP is more, I kind of look at it as kind of an exercise, you know, rather than a real something that we might use. So
you might be surprised.
I might be.
My stepdaughter graduated from CU Denver.
Oh, did she?
In architecture.
Did she?
So, yes. And planning. So now she is a city manager for someplace up north. I don't know. But back then, she was doing really good work. So I think that's an avenue I hadn't even thought of.
Yeah. Well, I had heard about it because, you know, when we first were alarmed by the Elizabeth Senior Center being on, they created several plans for the library or for the senior center. And I think 2 out of 3 of them were on the library property. And so that was kind of a shock to us. You know, we weren't expecting that. So anyway. So that's kind of what I have. So I think we still proceed with the idea that we know that we can't take it to the vote. You know.
I agree.
So we we know that we wouldn't want a mill levy override or a bond, you know, to go for a bond. But, you know, I think starting with the foundation and then starting through DOLA and seeing what we can get from the state.
I think that's real smart.
That's kind of where I'm, where I think we're heading. So. Any questions or thoughts or?
I think you've covered everything very well.
Yeah. So. You got a lot of food for thought.
The Malones, does anybody contact with the Malones out here?
We've talked about that before. We don't really have a somebody that knows the Malones, but that, I mean.
They're very, I think that they're very invested in this county, you know, when they've got. They're very
so, you know, if we can,
I don't know,
if we find somebody that knows the Malones, you know, that would be, that can put us in touch with them.
I wonder if Terry knows them. Terry from Rambo Ranch knows them.
Oh,
I
would have thought.
Could might be ask him.
Well, he has money too.
Yes.
So that's the kind of thing we need to start thinking about.
Private donors,
right? Mm-hmm. You know, who can we approach? You know, who would be willing to donate towards the library project? So, just thinking about.
I have a contact in my dog club, Marlene Groves. She has a her and her husband have a buffalo ranch, used to here, and she may or may not know the Malones. I'll have to, I'm kind of on her cramp list right now because I didn't put her on the board, but I need to try to get back in her graces again because she does have some contacts with various people.
So yeah, all of those kinds of things, just thinking about people you know and who they might know and mm-hmm. and
all right, elevator pitch.
So yes. And that's exactly why we were doing that, because that's the, you know, we're going to be working on our elevator pitches and pitching this whole thing. So I have two books that belong to us. They are written by the same people, but this is winning elections for library funding. And this one is like before the ballot, building political support for library funding, but they also go into a lot of good detail about how to do fundraising and how to, I mean, even it even talks about like going to a mixer and talking to people and like, you know, just how to talk to people and stuff like that. So they're really, really very helpful kind of in an advocacy way as well. So I didn't know if anybody is interested, and I think I marked, fundraising. That's why I marked it. You know,
we'll leave the marker there so one of us sorrows that we can, you know, where to go.
So, you know, some rules of thumb in fundraising. Typically, you'll find that while your top donors will only be 20% of your total donors, they will make up or should make up at least 50% of your total donations. These are the people and organizations who have big money and will hold on to it tightly. So
there you go.
You know, so yeah, there's a lot of, you know, so just these are, you know, helpful, not because we're not going to take it to the vote, but still helpful.
As,
you want to do this one?
Okay. Yeah.
Anybody else want this one?
Okay. Not right now.
Go ahead. I'll
quick read through it because I finished my pile of books for the week, so I was a bad boy and didn't bring my pile to check it in and check out again.
Okay.
That's project for tomorrow.
Do we have to make a motion to end the study group or not? It's just all right.